إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. الله سبحانه وتعالى منشن القرآن: فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يرى ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يرى. Allah said, verily, on the day of judgment, you will be shown, yara, you will be shown, anything good that you did, even if it is as small as a dharra. Now, dharra has been translated by different people in different ways. Somebody said it is a mustard seed, somebody said it is a grain of sand, somebody said something else. Nowadays, people say it's the weight of an atom. Allah knows best, whatever. But point is, that something which is extremely, extremely small. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that on this day, whatever you have done will be shown to you, whether it is good or bad, and no matter how small it is, whether it is one word, one action, one small piece of charity, or something which is bad, either way, smallest as small that may be, this will be shown. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from humiliation on that day, to forgive our sins, and to show us only that which is good, inshaAllah. The reason I remind myself and you about this is that this is the central principle of Islam, which is accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The central principle of Islam is accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means that I am personally accountable for anything that I say or do. Now, think about this. Hitler never killed anybody himself. Hitler probably never killed a butterfly. But 6 million people died under his rule. Stalin never killed anybody by himself, but 20 million people died. 20 million people. Now, as we speak, this Aung San Suu Kyi or whatever her name is, she's never killed anybody. But under her rule, how many people, Allah knows best, hundreds, thousands, are being killed and murdered, and they are being raped and slaughtered, and houses are being burnt. But she never touched anybody. I don't think she has ever killed anybody. I'm sure if you bring a small kitten to her or a small cat to her and say, cut off its head, she will not be able to do it. But people are doing that to children, under her rule. And I can give you many such examples. But I think the point is made, which is, why does something happen? It happens because at the end of that chain of command, at the end of that chain of deception, at the end of the chain of temptation, there is an individual man or woman who takes a decision to do something or not to do something. That is the bottom line. Now, if you go to that person and say, why did you do that? What will he say? He says, I was helpless. How can you be helpless and somebody is dying? If you are helpless, then nothing should happen, technically speaking. If I am helpless, then nothing should happen. There should be no... But something is happening, no? How is it you are helpless and somebody is dying? How is it you are helpless and somebody's house is being looted? How is it that you are helpless and somebody's house is being burnt? How is it that you are helpless and somebody is being raped? How is this possible? So this helplessness is not true. Somebody says, no, I had to do it. Why? I was ordered. So my question is, if you were ordered to cut off the head of your own child, will you do it? If you were ordered to rip open the belly of your own mother, will you do it? But you did it to somebody else's child, you did it to somebody else's mother. Because you choose to take a decision, end of the day, it is personal autonomy which will do good or which will do evil. In the middle of all this, for example, began with Hitler. During Hitler's time, while people were dying, there was the Imam of the Grand Mosque in Paris, who was an Algerian, and he decided to save people. So, the actual number is not known. Some people say there were a few hundred, some people say there were a few thousand, somebody says it was 150, somebody says 1,000, whatever it was, Allah knows best. He gave Jewish people certificates to say that they are Muslim. They did not become Muslim, but he gave certificates to Jewish people to say these are Muslims. And that saved their lives. Now, in that process, the Germans suspected something was going on. So they investigated him and so on and so on, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. But the point is that he was putting his own life at huge risk. Because if he had got caught, then he would have been sent to the gas chambers. But he put his own life, the Imam of the Grand Mosque of Paris, he put his own life at risk in order to save Jewish people who otherwise would have been killed. Why did he do that? He did not have done that. He would have said, I am helpless. What can I do? This is Hitler's government. Right? We are living under occupation. We are living under, oppression. We are living under a dictatorship. We hear horrific stories of how Israeli soldiers shoot Palestinian women and children. At the end of the day, who pulls the trigger? Not Netanyahu. Not Golda Meir. Not all the leaders of Israel, not people from the Senate. At the end of the day, it is one soldier who decides to point his gun at an innocent child or at a woman or a man who are innocent, who have done nothing, and pull the trigger. Obama is credited with receiving the Nobel Peace Prize and also of running the most successful and the widest spread assassination campaign in the history of America, the drone assassinations. And they say that every Tuesday there used to be a meeting in the White House where Obama would sit and they would decide who was to be killed that week. But did Obama kill anybody? I don't know whether Obama even killed a fly. So at the end of the day, it was some soldier sitting in some place playing video games with other people's lives. Now the reason I'm giving these examples, and as I said, there are plenty of examples, may Allah protect us from such times, but we have plenty of examples, where people choose to do evil, and they somehow tell themselves that they are not responsible because they are helpless. Islam says you are not helpless. Islam says that you have a choice. And the choice that you make will come back to you. That choice will be reflected back on you, good or bad. If you think about it, what is the meaning of growing up? You have a small baby. When the baby is 2 years old, when he's 4 years old, and then the baby becomes older and older, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50. What does it mean? Growing up means what? Does it only mean that at 2 years old he had no beard and at 20 years old he has a beard? Is that a sign of growing up? Is it the sign of growing up that at 2 years old the baby weighed maybe 20 kilograms? And at 40 years old, the baby weighs 80 kilograms. Is that, will you call a 40-year-old man a baby? Is that a measure? Is it size? Is it a measure? Weight? Is it a measure? What is a measure of growth? How do you say somebody is grown up? So-and-so is an adult. What is the measure of adulthood? What is the measure of being grown up? In my estimation, there is only one measure of being grown up. And that is emotional maturity. It is not physical maturity. Physical maturity is inevitable. Physical maturity, if you are alive, you will mature. I mean, there is no other way. Nobody grows backwards, right? I mean, we all grow only in one direction. So if you are, as long as you are breathing, you will mature. But emotional maturity, which consists of mental maturity, spiritual maturity, whatever. Emotional maturity is not a given. Emotional maturity does not automatically happen like physical maturity. And that's the reason why you have 40-year-old people behaving like 4-year-old kids. You have people who rave and rant and scream and You say, why is this man behaving like this? Even in the language we say, don't be childish. This is childish behavior. I mean, why? We don't say childish behavior to a 2-year-old child. You are saying childish behavior to an adult. What is the meaning of childish? Childish behavior means mentally you are there. Mentally you are still 5 years old. Mentally you are still 4 years old. Even though your body is 40 years old. What is that? That is the ability and the willingness to take and hold accountability for yourself, which is the meaning of autonomy. Owning personal authority. I am responsible. This is my life. And whatever good and bad happens in this life, I can impact that and I will take steps to impact that. So if I have a career and my career is going no place, it is not the fault of Narendra Modi, or it is not the fault of Bill Gates, or it is not the fault of Donald Trump, it is not the fault of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is my fault. If my career is going no place, let me sit down and look at why is it going no place. What is my value addition to myself in terms of my learning and development in the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? What have I done? And then when I take stock, I find that in the last 5 years, I did not read any book. I did not learn any new technology. I did not write anything. I did not do anything. And then I am sitting here and wondering, why is my career, where is your career supposed to go? If that is your record for the last 5 years, that you have not invested in your own development at anything at all in the last 5 years, where is your career supposed to go? Then why are you surprised that the career is not going anywhere, and why do you blame anybody else? And I'm giving you just one example. Same thing applies, right? I am praying Salah for the last 50 years, and till today, from Takbir Tahrima to the Salam, in 2 rakat of Salah, my mind will wander from here to America, to China, to Japan, to back. Now, who is responsible? 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, regularly 5 times a day at least, you are doing something. What must happen? You must become the greatest expert in the world in that thing. Take anything. I mean, if you are doing something 5 times a day, every single day, and 5 times means actually 10 times, because there's no 1 rakat, so it's at least 2 rakats. So if you count the number of rakats, so 5 times. So many times a day for the last 30, 40, 50 years, that salah is still as bad as it was on day one. Still there is no khushu, there is no concentration, there is no dedication, there is no focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is responsible? This is the meaning of autonomy. This is what Islam tells us, that you are responsible for yourself. وَاللَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing for a man except that which he works for. It is not going to come from somewhere else. Yeah, many people have this thing, please make dua for this. Sure, we'll make dua. I mean, we are not denying dua. Definitely dua is very powerful. But if with this dua, if you are making no effort, then what is the meaning of dua? If you think that just by asking, Ya Allah, give me this, it will come. No, it won't come. It will not come. The best example or the best proof of this is the life of the Anbiya, and for us the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find me one single instance in the entire seerah, from the day he was born to the day he passed away, one single instant where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua without making effort. One single, find me just one single instant in the entire seerah. There is no instant. Every single instance of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was done after making the effort. Some big flags in Taif, in the Ghar, in Badr, in Uhud, and then many cases, but I'm just saying the big markers in the seerah, every single place. After making the effort, after having suffered difficulties, after having, done every single thing that he could have done, then he stands in dua, then he goes down in sujood, then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. That of course refers to the, I have mentioned this many times, that this is the seerah is the tafsir of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu usta'inu bis sabri wa salah. The salah, the dua comes after the effort. And this is we see from this, from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa life. This is the meaning of autonomy. This is the meaning of owning personal authority. This is the meaning of taking charge of our lives. And the reason why it's important is because this is what we will be held accountable for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask what happened. Allah will say, what did you do? Allah will not ask what was happening to the Rohingyas. Tell me, I don't know. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah will not ask what was happening to the Rohingya. Allah will say, what did you do when this was happening? Allah will not say what was happening to this one and that one and so on. Allah will say, what did you do? Allah will not ask what happened. Allah will ask, what did you do? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do whatever we can do, inshallah. And to do it as much as we can do. Because again, it's all related. You invest 10 rupees, you get return on 10 rupees. Even if you invest it in the most absolutely amazing shares or bonds, which are giving you 10,000% return, somebody invests 10 rupees, he will still get the multiple of that 10 rupees only. He will not get, somebody else invests 1,000 rupees. The return on both will not be the same. No matter how well that, whatever the multiplier, end of the day, it depends on the amount, the absolute amount that you've invested. That's the issue with our lives. What is it that I'm investing? Multiplied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1:700 minimum. But depending on what we invest. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand this and to invest as much as we can, because on the day of judgment is the day of collecting that investment. No investment can be made on that day. We collect the investment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to invest what as much as we can, and to enable us to invest more and more, and to reward us, inshaAllah. Musta'an wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.